All right, 707, Help Fund Scholarships for U.S. Veterans. That's our message today. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. We'll talk Raiders here in just a couple seconds. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us at 7:30, 4 Down Territory next. And don't forget Sean Salisbury at 8:05. If you missed the first hour of this show, listen up. All right, so that was your first hour. You can, of course, hear all of that in its entirety, along with the next 2 hours, right there at KHTK.com. Here's Derek Carr. What's sad, guys, amongst other things, is you watched the Chargers beat the Broncos on Thursday. If memory serves me correctly, Nate was the only one who had the sack to actually pick the Chargers. You and I kind of fluttered, Katie, and said it's possible. Nate went with them. They were
I don't even think I thought it was possible.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Well, you got me on that one, Nate.
They had sole possession of first place for 2.5 days. They're still in first place. But this was a result that I think a lot of Raider fans were worried about. 26-10. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't a fluke. This was the second half complete and total domination by the Chiefs shutting out the Raiders. And you're right, Nate. You said it earlier. Instead of blitzing Derek Carr, which he's shown one of the, if not the best quarterback in the NFL so far this year at completing under pressure, they dropped everyone back and said, beat our secondary. It's your words exactly. And they did not beat the secondary.
Yeah, this is not, I mean, I don't want to paint this as a doom and gloom for the Raiders. I think they still have a lot of wins ahead of them this season, but this is what could come back to hurt them in the playoffs. It's not just the weather. It's that when you get into January, when you get into December, you have to be built for this kind of football. And the Raiders, unfortunately, they can't stop the run effectively, which is something you got to do in the playoffs. And they don't seem to be able to run the ball effectively and move it when it's wet. I mean, because they're so revolved around that passing game. It's something that they need to fix if they want to be successful in the playoffs.
They gave up 131 rushing yards to Spencer Ware.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was on my
183
bench.
For the game to their 65. I really thought that the Raiders' running game would have a much better, numbers than they put up yesterday. Because again, I keep going back to the weather. I thought for sure that with the rain that we were expecting, that it was going to be hard for Derek Carr to kind of go to his passing game the way that he has in the first 5 weeks of the season. I thought for sure they'd rely on their running game a little bit more. But 65 yards, you guys.
Yeah.
They attempted to run the ball 17 times to 40 attempts for the Chiefs. I mean, really.
Well, and part of that, too, they got behind so early. They ended up getting shut out in the second half, I think, basically because of what you said. They weren't able to establish the run.
No, they weren't. They absolutely weren't. And this is a team that, weirdly enough, when you look at their rushing attack on spec, it doesn't seem like it's that great. Latavius Murray's missed some times. They've had a couple of kids come in and help. But the Raiders are in the top half of basically every rushing category there is. And when it comes to total yards, they're 11th in the league. So it's not like they're slouches at all. Mm-hmm.
I do get that Murray being out is a huge blow to them.
Sure. This was, you don't want to say it was predictable because I think most thought the Raiders were going to win. Most thought the Raiders were going to win. But this was something where they've dodged bullets all year long. And I think a lot of fans and a lot of people were waiting for Oakland to come out in the second half. Okay, they're down. They made adjustments. Here comes Derek Carr. No, there was none of that. And they got to figure that out.
The reality of the situation is should we be worried at this point? I don't think we should as either.
No, this is more of a long-term problem.
They're facing the Jags and the Bucks in the next 2 weeks, both on the road. They've played better on the road. The Jags and the Bucks are both 2-3.
Yeah.
Both teams have been playing better the last couple weeks, but I think these are very favorable matchups for the Raiders, and that when they go into Denver on November 6th to face the Broncos, I think they should have two more wins under their belt.
Yeah, I'm in that game's in Oakland, by the way.
It is in Oakland?
I'll tell you this much. I'm not worried like the house is falling down, but that two-step in Florida, I'll take a split right now and walk away. Don't even play the games. If they go 2-0, I will be very, very, very surprised with two teams playing a lot better than they did. We'll take a break. Come back 4 Down Territory next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Raiders quarterback Derek Carr trying to remain optimistic after the Raiders lose to Kansas City. Do you panic a little after this Raiders loss?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. I know the good response is going to be no, but here's the bottom line. Take emotion out of it. The Raiders have yet to beat a team that's at 500 right now. They don't. And I know they went on the road, and I know Baltimore was 3-0 when they beat them. They have yet to beat a team that's 500. They had to come back against the Saints. That was a close game with the Titans. They had to come back against the Ravens. They beat the Chargers by 3, and then the Chiefs came in and punched them in the mouth. So if you're sitting back going, uh-oh, were they maybe a little bit of a paper tiger, and now teams are figuring them out, I think it's a very legitimate thought.
I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking at all. I'll panic, you know, in week 9 if they head into week 9 against the Broncos and they're 4-4.
Yeah, at this point, the only reason to panic is if you had serious Super Bowl aspirations, because this was a
good point.
This was a division game, right? You're going to lose some of those. This team wasn't going to go 15-1, and Alex Smith has your number. It was bad weather. Things just weren't in your favor yesterday. Now's not the time. Give it a few more games.
That call, courtesy of the San Francisco 49ers radio network, it was a bit refreshing to see a number 7 under center for the Niners, but they still got destroyed. Is there really anything to do this season about it?
Is there anything to do this season about it?
Words.
Yeah. English.
Yeah. Katie.
Well, I think we can take him to some kind of a class so that he can...
Who, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah. Reed? Oh, no.
About the 49ers. Yeah. Is there anything to do about the 49ers this season?
I was an English major.
I don't even know why this is a question, to be honest, Dave, because I think we've been saying it over and over, and now it's just beating a dead horse. They're bad. The only thing for them to continue to do is be bad and hope for a high draft pick.
Yeah, keep losing. You need draft picks. There's nothing to do about it this season.
The only reason it's a question is because I had to put a question in four down territory, and I
have a bunch of them.
Didn't want to talk about, you know, whatever. So, yeah, they suck. They're stupid. The only thing you can do is send messages, fire people, and prep for that draft pick. That's
See,
it.
Nate said it the right way. Is there anything
Start
to do about it this season?
Start shopping for a new GM.
What?
Touchdown with sauce.
No.
No.
Like Castillo?
Don't do that.
Castillo?
Anyway, Dak Prescott, he's doing really, really well. There's no way you can start Tony Romo now, can you, when he returns?
No. No, sorry, Tony. Your team's too good. I mean, you don't walk away when you're hot. Like, come on. No. Dak Prescott's the starter of this team.
They're 2 points away from being undefeated, 20-19 at home to the Giants before they even knew what the hell they were, and Prescott's in his first game. They went into Green Bay. And they punched him in the face.
This wasn't
an accident. This wasn't a fluke. They beat the Bengals. They doubled up the Bengals, 28-14, and followed it up with a win at Lambeau. Granted, the time of year you want to play at Lambeau before it gets snowy. Still, no, Jerry, for once in your life, get out of your own way. Do not let this happen. Your team is 5-1.
The only positive thing that came out of this game, because they beat my Packers, and by the way, the Packers fans booed that offense. It was so horrendous. Mm. The only thing that comes out of this that is good that I can see is we have a real-life NFL reality show forming in front of us, because as soon as Tony Romo is available, Jerry Jones is going to show himself for what he is. He is too scared to do this, even though this is the right move, which is to bench Romo and keep Prescott where he is.
Speaking of those boos, Aaron Rodgers had a comment on the boos.
That's a really abbreviated version of an already abbreviated press conference. Cam Newton left after 36 seconds or something like that.
No.
Panthers are
90.
Now 90 seconds?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, 36, 90, same thing. Panthers are 1-5 and are the defending NFC champs done? Is there still hope? Question mark?
They're 1-5. If they win out, so they win out, they're 11-5. They're not going to win out. 9-7 probably doesn't get it done in that division. So you're looking at 10-6. Yeah, they're done. They're done. They're done. They're done. And to me, the Carolina Panthers are the biggest surprise in the NFL. They really are. This is weird.
They're done because I saw a stat yesterday. I think two teams have ever been able to make the playoffs after starting the season 1-5, and one of them was the Chiefs just a few years ago, I believe. Or maybe it was last year even. Didn't they start 1-5 last year, the Chiefs?
It was very recently.
Yeah, I think it was last season. No, they don't have – there's no recovery, which they're going to go from being – one of the great stories in the NFL and making the playoffs last year and going to the Super Bowl and losing just one game to just absolutely crapping the bed this season. And Cam Newton can be all butthurt about the questions he's getting, but he should be more butthurt about the way that they're performing on the field and focus a little bit more on that instead of just walking out of press conferences because he can't take it.
Yeah, it's over. And, you know, as much as I advocate for guys having personalities, because I think the league's ratings problems are just as much revolved around the fact that they like to dump on guys that have a personality.
Right.
Whether you agree with the way they handle things or not, they like to wash personalities out of the league. And now that Tom Brady's been gone for four games, Peyton Manning's gone, those are two of your most marketable stars, right? But Cam Newton should be right there, shouldn't he? I mean, he's right out there. He's got the personality. He's a charismatic guy. But my point is this is why coaches talk about not letting your highs get too high and not getting your lows get too low. Not because about personality, but because when things do start to go bad, you can't be that guy anymore. You can't dance around. You can't jump around, be excited, and wave your hands and do all of that personality stuff because this is the way it looks when you're losing.
By the way, Ben Roethlisberger, we should add, will have surgery for a meniscus issue. It's being described as a cleanup and not a total repair.
They won't know until they get in, though.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to miss at least this weekend's game versus the Patriots and possibly more. That is a huge blow for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lincoln Kennedy will join us next. We'll open up, talk more Raiders on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Bringing sexy back, that's what we do here on The Drive. Want to remind you, Four Down Territory brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Whether it's the original Italian, Jersey Shore's favorite, or Jersey Mike's famous Philly cheesesteak, their subs are served Mike's way, made fresh, cold, or grilled hot. Check out the grand opening of their new location October 26th on Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center. Also, 7:35, Lincoln Kennedy coming up in just moments.
Sexy just got back from Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right, girl. Ew. Time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans.
He brought a bottle of that Woodward's Reserve.
Yeah. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a sports clip near you. Sports clips near you. I brought two bottles back. I brought a bottle of the big old bottle of the normal, and then I brought a bottle of something called Double Oaked.
Double oaked.
It's oaked, and then it's taken out, and then it's put in a fire-treated barrel and oaked again. The Raiders got oaked by the Chiefs on Sunday. We bring in Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, as they do every single week. Check them out, JiffyLubeCA.com, for big, powerful coupons. Lincoln, I hope you stayed at least a little bit dry yesterday. How are you?
Oh, I was waterlogged. Speaking of oaked, I felt like an old piece of wood after yesterday. So I'm still drying out, but I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're breaking this game down this morning, and I guess the question going in, Link, is they now you look at it, and you don't want to do revisionist history, but let's just be honest. Fact: they have not beaten a team that has a 500 record this year. Baltimore was 3-0, and those are quality wins. You don't want to forget it. But was this just the manifestation of some problems that have been waiting to bite them in the ass?
Yes, I think, but to summarize, if you want to know what happened, it's quite honestly and quite simply the way Jack Del Rio said in his press conference after the game. They got out-schemed, they got out-coached. And of course, it's hard to simplify overall just that. But let's face it, there were times where, you know, through the defensive scheme, you had Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin out in coverage. These are pretty much rush ends. They're not pure outside linebackers. So that's not one of their strengths. That's actually one of their weaknesses. That's an occasion when you're out-schemed. There was a time where, you know, the Kansas City defense – only had backup corners and safeties on the field because they were depleted at defensive back, and the Raiders ran the ball. So that was a mix-up in scheme as well. So, I mean, there are a number of occasions here where, you know, you still have a young team. You're not in a bad position because you're 4-2 rather than 2-4 or anything worse. And you know what you have to do to get better. I mean, you got to go on the road against two teams in Florida, which – maybe, hopefully you should beat because I think they're better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it still has to happen. And then come back for Denver November 6th.
Well, and Lincoln, when you look at this game, I mean, one of the strengths for the Raiders, they've been very solid with their running game this season so far. However, that was not the case yesterday. And I know that they're missing Latavius Murray, but did you expect that poor of a showing in their running game?
See, I think that's where one of the stats are misleading, because in my opinion, they haven't been solid in running game. They've been lucky, fortunate in their running game. There are times where they've been able to break big yard runs, and it adds to the stats. When you look at the overall stats and rush for average, you just assume that they've got a good running game. But the problem without having a true blocking tight end is that you can't seal the edges. Conversely, our defense has the edges exposed. If you saw the runs that Kansas City had the most success on, they were outside the tackles, outside the ends. There was nobody out there. The Raiders don't have the fortune of doing that. And so that's one thing that works against them. And two, because they don't have a pure fullback or a true two-back system, that they're very predictable. When they bring in Kirkland as a tight end who's an extra offensive lineman, when they bring in Andre Holmes and Alawale, then people know they're going to run. And yesterday what Kansas City did is they shot the gaps. So whether it was a safety or a linebacker, rather than sitting back and waiting for the play to develop, the moment they saw that formation, they would shoot their respective gaps and disrupt any type of flow to break up the run and stuff like that. So that's another case where they were out-schemed. So I know what the stats say, but I don't – the run game is not as consistent as I would like it to be after week six.
And how much of that, Lincoln, do you feel is maybe a little bit attributed to the injury issues they have on that offensive line?
It's a combination of the injuries, the offensive line. It's a combination because Austin Howard is a better pass blocker than run blocker, and yesterday he didn't have his best game either. But part of it's injuries, part of it's scheme, and part of it's just figuring out how to best utilize the players that you have. And I still think Musgrave and his staff are still trying to figure that out.
Lincoln Kennedy's with us on KHTK. You mentioned that they got out schemed. Another thing about a game like yesterday in that kind of weather, you've got playoff conditions, Lincoln, and you got to win games like that with physicality. The Raiders aren't equipped for that. Is there a concern that that's going to cost them down the road?
Well, I mean, it's still early. We still got a lot of football to be played. So when you talk about, what type of concerns, the concern overall is the fact that you didn't beat a divisional opponent at home. You lost that opportunity. Now you get one more shot at it, and unfortunately it's going to be on the road. And I've said all along to you guys and everyone else I've talked to, I still think the Raiders are a playoff-caliber team. I'm not ready to anoint them the division because I don't think they're that strong overall. I think they're a wild-card-capable team, but these are games where you got to have it. You got to learn to win.
Link, how did Derek Carr – well, I don't know how did he perform. We know he had a rough game, but – talk a little bit about Derek Carr's performance. More importantly, I think what he can pull out of this game is a learning experience.
He wasn't as accurate as he should have, as he could have been, or has been in the past. There were a number of occasions where you would just hope that he had kept the receiver upright rather than throwing it low and forcing the guys to go down to the ground to catch it. So there are instances where you talk about these quarterbacks, or this quarterback in particular, Derek Carr, where you've got to play better in order for the team to succeed. He didn't have his I've seen better games, let's put it that way.
Well, and we know Lincoln, he's excelled throughout his career against extra rush. When teams bring the blitz, he's very good against pressure. We also know what that means is that a lot of man-to-man coverage, and you have to make accurate throws as a quarterback. We know Derek Carr's accurate, so why is there a difference when teams drop more guys into coverage like the Chiefs did yesterday? Why does he lose his accuracy?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for it. I would say this. In watching him, I honestly thought, because there were times where the Raiders had max protection, that they assumed the Chiefs were going to blitz. Mm. And more importantly, the Chiefs were in a read. They were dropping, eight or seven guys in the back, and they were playing zone because they had coverage issues with their cornerback situation. Normally, they're playing a lot of man. They're a man press team, and they were expecting a lot of blitz. The Raiders didn't get that a lot of time. So, again, I think they were out-schemed and out-coached.
Is there anything to the idea that maybe they're just a better road team at this point than they are a home team, Lincoln?
No. Yeah, you can't make that assessment because you got to take the level of competition that you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you mentioned Baltimore Ravens, but even watching Baltimore, I thought, you look at Baltimore's win. I think they were in Cleveland, Miami. I can't remember who else was, but they weren't, top ranked teams, if you will, for Baltimore to get that 3-0 record before the Raiders played. If what it is the way I look at it is, it's still a very young team. There's still a lot of football to be played. They got a lot of growing to do, and that's from coaches to players and vice versa. So this is one of those slip-ups that they wish they had over again. And unfortunately, with the weather being like it was yesterday, look, the Kansas City Chiefs look like they played better in the weather than we did.
Yeah.
And it's in our backyard. So, that's another learning experience. And that's one of the things that I was shaking my head to. I was like, I can't even believe this. The Raiders look like the road team that can't play in these conditions. And this is their backyard.
Well, and unfortunately, Link, in the NFL, and as you get into the stretch run and then hopefully playoffs, elements factor in, whether it's rain or snow or wind. Do the Raiders have the team makeup to be able to play in those elements, or are they very much like a dome team that's playing outdoors?
I just think because they're young and they have yet to really truly experience the elements like that, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, they played in snow in Denver and stuff like that, but I mean, when you talk about games like you saw yesterday, you're right. That is what you see towards the end of the season, fall and late winter and stuff like that. And it's a little different. But because they're so young, it's hard to just specify whether or not they're ready for it or they're capable of it. They haven't seen a lot of it. They're a Northern California team. And I guess you can make the analogy, the comparison, like with dome teams that come outside, how they stretch, but until you experience it, like they experienced it yesterday, it won't have anything to learn from. I think that, on top of the fact that the coaching staff, as I said before a couple times, was out-schemed and out-coached, that's a learning lesson for everybody.
When you go into your next matchup, what do the Raiders need to do on the road to be able to recover from this loss?
Beat the snot out of a team. I mean, that's just it. When you lose a game like this, it's sour, and you should make you hungry to come back and just beat the crap out of the next team. And they have that ability to do it. But if you go down there and show any inkling of struggling, or you take a step backwards, or you lose to a team that you should beat, because I'm going to say right now, the Raiders should beat the Jaguars. But if you lose that game, then now all of a sudden you're licking your wounds, and now all of a sudden you're 4-3, and the division is getting away from you a little bit. So all is not lost, but it's even more concerning. So I think you just have to go out there and put your best effort forward and beat the crap out of the Jaguars.
Well, and Lincoln, when you look at it, they play the Jags and then they play the Buccaneers, both on the road. At this point, after week six, both teams are 2-3, but they've been playing better as of late. What are they figuring out kind of as the season has progressed for them?
Well, I mean, everybody sort of gets into their rhythm after a month of football or so. And so, the Jaguars lost a came back and won a heartbreaker yesterday against the Bears when they were down. That shows some resiliency and that builds confidence. And Tampa Bay, after their big win in Carolina, had made them feel a lot better about themselves. So I think they too are young teams that are still trying to figure their own. For Jaguars, the most immediate sense, the Jaguars have been stockpiling first round draft choices and premier players for quite some time, and just hasn't been able to put it together. They've got athletes that get paid over there, so they've got some players that can make some plays, but the Raiders will have to deal with a fearsome pass rush and have to be on their game for that. And Derek Carr is definitely going to have to be accurate because they're going to try to get after him quickly and put some pressure on him early.
Lincoln Kennedy talking Raiders with us on The Drive. Lincoln, do you have any further details on the injury to Latavius Murray and maybe any idea when he's going to be back?
Turf toe is so hard to predict.
Yeah.
That's what they diagnose it as, turf toe. I remember having it's an awkward injury because it's just a sprain between the joints, and anybody knows anything about the foot, there's not a whole lot of room in there. It's bones and tendons and ligaments and stuff like that. It's a sprain between the joint, and it's so hard to heal. More importantly, it's easy to do over again if you the wrong time you push it out. So what they create orthotics. They put orthotics in your shoes. Sometimes it's a hard brace to where it doesn't bend when you try to move. Unfortunately for a running back who has to cut and change direction, there's a lot of awkward actions or angles that you can do to just disrupt that injury. So I don't have a timeline as when he'll be back. I think it should be this week, but you just never know for sure.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, this is the type of thing you mentioned. It can just linger. I don't want to paint doom and gloom, but I mean, this is what Patrick Willis dealt with, and he then eventually just said, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yes. I've had turf toe in both feet, found a way to play with them, but wasn't as effective as I could have been. And of course, wasn't a running back at offensive tackle. So it's just, it is a pain. It is definitely a pain.
Jack Del Rio was asked again about whether or not he grabbed the headset from Ken Norton Jr. and calling plays. Now, this is a media thing, but it seems like there's a little smoke to this. Do you see Ken Norton Jr. finishing the season calling those plays?
I mean, really, in all honesty, guys, it doesn't bother me who calls the plays as long as they're at work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, we can question politics, we can question schematics and stuff like that. But the fact is that when you take what is Carl Joseph listed at 5'10"?
Yes.
And put him, I mean, if he's lucky, I don't think he was 5'10", but anyways, 5'10", safety, and you're putting him on a 6'7" tight end. I mean, anybody could see that. That's an advantage for the offense, right? it's a matter of scheme. And so it's not so much the plays. And this is what we talked about a few weeks ago, guys. I'm not really sure if the scheme is ineffective or the players are ineffective, because let's face it, when you call something, you want to see if it works or not. And if it doesn't work, you go back to the drawing board. But more importantly, if the players or the matchup, for example, that height differential, it wasn't like the tight ends were doing anything that good. They were just running slant routes and using their body. And there's nothing you could do when you're that small, that much size different. There's nothing you do to stop it. So that's a matter of scheme. So I don't care who calls the plays, as long as whoever calls the plays, it works. So I really don't put that much emphasis into those types of things.
Well, what do you think the solution is for a scheme, to scheme around a guy like Carl Joseph, who's obviously an explosive player that you'd like to have out there to make plays, but if you don't have a guy that can cover the tight ends in the passing game, what do you do?
Well, that's just it. That's the million-dollar question, if you ask me. I mean, because in all honesty, I think the Raiders have got a number of free safeties, but they don't have a pure strong safety. And that's the position that you want to have a taller guy for, strong safety, because primarily in most defenses, a strong safety will cover a tight end or a taller linebacker. And that's something the Raiders don't have either. So, you don't want to use Bruce Irvin or Khalil Mack, who are your taller linebackers, per se, and even though they're more defensive ends to me than linebackers, because then it's a mismatch. They're doing something that's foreign to them. So it becomes really odd. I was thinking that they would try to use Keith McGill. However, in their current scheme, if you bring in Keith McGill, you have to take out a linebacker, which means that offenses will notice they have an advantage with a light box, and they would run the ball at him, and he's not that good against the run. So, you pick your poison. It's one of those things where you got to figure it out and got to have a remedy for it. But I do know this. Ken Norton Jr., as much as I love him, is a situational coach where he waits to see what the offense brings in, and then he sends in the defense and calls the defense according to that. And unfortunately for that, when people just hurry up you or just hurry up offense, no huddle offense, you can't switch in and out. So then you're caught with what you have on the field, and that could be a problem as well.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, obviously, Thursday night's game, when the Broncos lost that one on the road, the Raiders move into sole possession of first place in the division. However, that changes yesterday. Both teams stand right now at 4-2. I'm just curious, from you watching that Broncos game, what did you see in that loss? Because they have looked so strong, and that was a little bit surprising that they went on the road and lost that one against the Chargers.
Well, their offense let the rest of the team down. Look, the defense is pretty good, but the defense isn't going to pitch shutouts every night. So sometimes the offense has got to do its part by getting first downs, generating points. And the offense let them down. Didn't have a good game offensively, and then now, they're reeling. And so you're going to take on some teams that are going to hit for some big plays on your defense, get some touchdowns. I mean, they're not going to run loose and rack up 500-600 yards on you, but if they have an average night or a good night with a quarterback like Philip Rivers is, then you put your offense in a position where they've got to do their part, and it didn't do it by that time.
How much success do you think that the Broncos can have, Lincoln, when they have Trevor Siemian as their quarterback? I mean, long-term throughout the course of the playoffs and deep into the playoffs.
you know, Gary Kubiak's offense is not necessarily, you know, one of those Eric Oriels that's going to, you know, throw for 500 yards. He's got a very consistently patient, sort of methodical type of offense.
Where is the word you're looking for boring?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to use it, you did, but it's fitting here. You know, the thing is, they run the zone read. They run the bootleg. I mean, come on, this is what you expect out of their offense. So they're not – they really want to keep a defense on the field that will shut people down. They look to score 17 to 21 points a game, and they think they've got it, which in most cases they will. But, you know, if this team gets hot to where this defense does pitch a couple shutouts against some good teams, who knows? I mean, they won a Super Bowl last year doing it.
Yeah.
So take a look. I mean, because let's face it, because with, you know, Osweiler and Peyton Manning in there, they weren't really lighting up the scoreboard then, but they won a Super Bowl.
You know, we talk about the Raiders, and one common theme all year long has been a leaky defense. November 17th of last year, Alden Smith was suspended for a year. He's allowed to reapply for apply for reinstatement 60 days before then. So that tells you September 17th. I've heard nothing out of this, and I don't want to get Raider fan excited about Alden Smith coming in and, you know, wearing a Superman cape or anything. But is there any legitimate hope that Smith could at some point this year provide some help on that D?
Well, yeah, because I think he's in a change up at pass rush. I mean, you could probably assume that if he comes back in a uniform. Maybe they used to have this, Raiders used to have this called this NASCAR package where they would have four defensive ends or defensive tackles. I mean, you know, one defensive tackle and three defensive ends down on the defensive line to rush the quarterback. And Alden Smith would be able to help with that and move maybe Khalil Mack inside and work some games and stuff like that with Bruce Irvin. But it's another pass rush. And I think the Raiders definitely need that if they want to do their scheme, which is rush four and drop seven.
Lincoln, we always appreciate it. You know what? We forgot to ask you one non-Raider question. What is all this stuff with Golden Tate's celebration with the pom-pom saying that it's groundbreaking? Why don't people remember Terrell Owens grabbing the pom-pom? It's like that never, ever happened, Lincoln.
You know, I didn't even hear anything about it, first and foremost, but I'm often reminded that NFL stands for the No Fun League. And they much rather, above all else, see their athletes rather than hear their athletes. And sometimes when their athletes make news in the wrong way, they're going to jump down on it and real quickly, because there's no way that you can tell me that someone shooting an arrow in the sky warrants a $10,000 fine.
That reminds me of my mom. She always used to tell me when I was little girls should be seen and not heard. What the heck is that? That obviously
didn't work out for me, and it's not working out for
the NFL either, Lincoln.
Well, I mean, you've got a platform to where you're in front of millions of people. You just scored, or you did something great. You want to celebrate. What's wrong with allowing that 5-6 seconds of jubilance? How much harm is it? But this is the world we live in, and that's the No Fun League at its best.
We always appreciate you, Lincoln. Thank you. You can hear Lincoln all week long, including with, of course, Grant Napier on The Nation. We will see you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
All right, take care. That is Lincoln Kennedy.
Jubilation.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. JiffyLubeCA.com for those very powerful coupons. Always appreciate Jiffy Lube for making guys like Lincoln possible for us. I the celebration was great by Golden Tate. I love that, but Terrell Owens did it first. People are like, oh, this
long
is crazy.
Long time ago.
Come on, man.
Short memories, people. Short memories.
I still love, who was it? Was it Joe Horn of the Saints that pulled the phone?
Yes, it was Joe Horn. I forgot about that.
Pulled the phone.
Out of his sock.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, before we go to break.
No, hold on. Was the phone in the – it was in the goalpost.
It was in the goalpost.
That's right. The Sharpie was in T.O.'s sock.
I remember that, yeah.
But we got a break here. We'll do this when we get back. It was something that happened over the weekend right next to me, and I had no idea about it till this morning. I'll tell you what, a tragedy in sports right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.